Welcome to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go! Welcome to Just Saying It right here on the SportsMap Radio Network, 800-224-2004. Give us a call. Talk about whatever you want. Let me know. Follow me on Twitter, at Mr. Cole Thompson. We got Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing, and we got a great second hour ahead. There is one game that I am so enticed with this upcoming NFL season. There is one game that I'm so enticed with this upcoming NFL weekend. Can Tennessee find a way to upset the likes of Lane Kiffin? And to do so, how does that come about? Also, let's talk about some other NFL storylines going on. But I start the day off with this. Do you ever just get tired? Like, do you ever just have a reason of, like, why you have no idea why you're so lethargic and just out of it? Because I don't know what it is. Like this past week, I've been working nonstop. But at the same time, I also was kind of fighting an infection. So maybe it's my body that, like, tell me, hey, you know, you're not at full speed. Slow down. Get back at ease. Don't rush anything. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know, but I am just so dang tired. Michael, like, can you explain to me how tiredness works?
If I could, I would.
Thank you. I needed you to give me some help there. And nope. Instead, you're just like...
That's like one of the biggest mysteries. You'll never know why you're tired.
So. Yeah, but like the thing is, like, have you ever noticed that, like, if you oversleep, you're also tired? Like it's just your doctor recommended is like 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. If you sleep like 13 hours, you wake up tired.
Oh, man, I don't know. Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Is like, you never feel like you're refreshed. It's like, oh, I got a great 4 hours sleep. Can't wait.
Have you never had that moment that you wake up and be like, oh, man, I had a good sleep?
I don't know.
I have.
No, I don't think I have. I think I've always had, like, the,
I do, especially over the weekends, because I work overnight, Monday to Friday.
Right.
So I have my weekend coming up, so I don't know that probably tomorrow I'm waking up around 10. I'll be like, yes.
Yeah, no, see, that's not it with me, because I always got to cover college football on Saturdays. So I'm usually up at 7:45. Oh, it also doesn't help when your dog decides to wake you up to go to the bathroom, like, six times a day, starting at, like, 4:30 in the morning and then never stopping until the end of it. So, you know, I guess that's the thing. Don't worry about sleep. It's just never going to happen.
Time for the two-minute warning around the NFL. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day, we go around the NFL, we gave you some of the biggest storylines that you might have missed from Thursday, and we do so in about 2 minutes. That's why we call it a two-minute warning. Michael! I want a different way about it this way. Start the clock.
T.Y. Hilton returned to practice Wednesday and could return to the playing field Sunday. After undergoing neck surgery just before the season, The Colts wideout was complicating whether he returned to the game of football.
The first 2 days when I got home, I almost hung it up. I can't even lie. You know, I didn't pretty much tell nobody but the people close to me. I was close to hanging up. I talked to Andrew. That's one of probably the wrong thing to do, but but he me and him went out a couple times and just he came over to my house. We talked, man. You know, he just wanted me to be, you know, be good with it. You know, get back healthy. You know, don't rush it. Take your time, and before you get back, make sure you talk to me. So, but other than that, man, he was big. He was a big supporter.
Look, T.Y. Hilton retiring kind of felt like it was always a potential thing to happen, more so because of T.Y. was like Andrew's go-to dude. Like, you gotta remember that when Andrew was drafted number one overall, they drafted T.Y. in the third round of that same class, and they became inseparable as one of the biggest marquee and probable, let's just go with this, probably one of the biggest and brightest stars in a mid-market franchise that really does not have everything going for them. And then, by top of that, one had to be the replacement for Reggie Wayne, and the other had to be the replacement for Peyton Manning. That's a tall task, and Luck maybe didn't live up to the standard, but that was not based off him. That was based off Ryan Grigson and how poorly the franchise was run for about 4 or 5 years underneath his regime. But T.Y. has basically taken that spot right along with Reggie and right along with Marvin as great wide receivers in the for Indianapolis. Now, is he statistically at that same level? No, absolutely not. Like, not a chance. But overall, recognition-wise, production-wise, all that, you got to give a lot of credit. T.Y. Hilton, if he wants to retire, so be it. Instead, he's going to come back this weekend. He's playing the Houston Texans. He always plays the Houston Texans extremely well. It's kind of ridiculous how talented he is against one freaking team.
Everybody start him on fantasy, so.
Yep, everybody start him on fantasy. If you have T.Y. Hilton on your team, you better start him on fantasy because the Houston Texans are like his mojo. They're like his Bang energy drink. They're like his cup of coffee. I don't know. It's something that just electrifies and jolts him alive. I'm tired here. I'm trying to find an energy drink that keeps me awake like that. What's next?
Saquon Barkley entered the 2021 season eager to rewrite the history of his injury-marred career. 6 weeks into his fourth campaign, he's struggling physically and emotionally with another ailment. Barkley was expected to miss the New York Giants Week 6 game against the Los Angeles Rams after spraining his ankle last Sunday, told reporters how frustrated he was with the situation. Over the past 3 years, Barkley has missed 18 total games.
Well, it's frustrating for a multitude of reasons. Let's start with the first one. If you're a New York Giants fan and you watched who else came in that draft class right after Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, and even Sam Darnold, and Denzel Ward, and Marshawn Lattimore, and Ryan Ramczyk, and all these other guys. Guys who are very talented at their respective positions. And Saquon, for as good as he is, for as talented as a running back as he has been, you don't draft running backs in the first round. Fans themselves would even say, we should not have Saquon Barkley on our team, because if we should have, you know, drafted, like, he should have been drafted, like, pick number 27, pick number 22. Even if he is an elite player, it's just the value of the position that matters. So it infuriates them, but it also infuriates the likes of probably Barkley, because Barkley knows it. Like, Barkley knows and he understands completely, hey, I should probably not be in New York. I probably should be on a new team, because if they really need a franchise quarterback, I don't know what to make of Daniel Jones. Nobody knows what to make of Daniel Jones. And they just had, for sure, three franchise quarterbacks just selected. And by the way, two are on the board. Like, two are available for me to take. And it may take me a little bit of time to get this right, but man, the results are sweet. And that's not the case. Like that's not the case for the likes of the New York Giants. So it's frustrating on a multitude of levels. You want Saquon Barkley because he is the offense. But if you're a Giants fan, you're also sitting there and going, could have had Josh Allen. Oh, Josh, why did you hurt me? Lamar, come back to me, man. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever leave me. Like that's how I feel like conversations go for like most Giants fans, knowing that Saquon Barkley was selected over the likes of several marquee quarterbacks.
If this doesn't make you run through a wall, nothing will. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster suffered a season-ending shoulder injury during last week's win over the Denver Broncos. While speaking to a group of fans on Wednesday, Smith-Schuster let everyone know where his passion was for the game of football.
You know, I sat there and I cried. I cried all night. I cried because, like, I love this game so much. More than anyone who knows. I know the whole social media thing and the whole TikTok and like dances and all that. Like, I do it because, like, it's my personality and I love it. But yeah, don't get me wrong, but football will always come first. Without football, I wouldn't be who I am today. Without football, this wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't have create or be a role model for a lot of people. And I cried that night because you just never know what the future holds for you. If I look at the light in front of me,
and don't keep my head down. Just keep pushing forward, and I come back even stronger than I was, you know, this year. I know God has a bright future for me.
It's nice to see this side of Juju Smith-Schuster because it shows that he does care. And I don't think anybody would ever doubt that he's not a fan of football. It's just, he's also an icon. I mean, like, think about it. Remember when, like, Deion Sanders would, like, show up in a Brinks truck? Remember when you know, you see baseball players all the time show up half naked? You see basketball players with, like, the biggest swag kind of thing. Like that's just Juju. Juju's the exact same way. He's just an icon who's really popular and really good at social media. He's really talented at social media. That doesn't mean that he's not a fan of football. That doesn't mean that he doesn't think you can put football first. It just means he's multi-talented. It's more than just him doing one-trick things. He's actually a very, very talented TikToker. But he cares about the sport. And he wants everyone to know, not just in Pittsburgh, not just when he's, you know, going into free agency, he is giving it his all. And you can see at times this year, he 100% was giving it his all. And it's frustrating because of, you know, he took a risk on himself. He could have taken a 2-year deal to build up his name, get more money. Instead, he took a 1-year, $9.5 million deal to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, you know, your season's over. So you're absolutely screwed at this point. There's absolutely nothing to look at that makes you feel like going into free agency, you've done enough to up your value on the market.
The Cleveland Browns will take on the likes of the Arizona Cardinals, and with it, two former Heisman Trophy winners will meet on the football field. Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray know each other quite well during their times together at Oklahoma. However, Mayfield was the first to shine with the Sooners. He plans on keeping this tradition alive in Cleveland as the home team.
With him, there's always something. You know, there's always a little bit of trash talk. We see each other quite often in the offseason, and you know, like I said, he might show it differently, but behind closed doors, he is quite the trash talker. So don't let him fool you.
Is it radio silence between you guys this weekend?
No, we'll definitely catch up. I'm sure I'll hear it later in this week. He's probably working today, and he'll catch me up later in the week.
I do love the fact that they have a good relationship, and it's very clear that you can tell that they have a decent relationship. But Baker and Kyler are in two very different entities when you look at it. Baker actually works very well in the offense that he's set in when you ask him to do very little. And that's not an insult. Sometimes less is more. I don't think anyone understands, like, when we talk about that, people are always like, oh, you know, because if he's doing so little, he's not his contributions to the team are very limited. That's not always the case. Like, 9 times out of 10, sometimes less is more. Kyler, meanwhile, is doing the most of what he shined at. And he's really improving underneath the likes of Cliff Kingsbury's system. He's in the right system. But ultimately, if you are Baker and you just come off a close loss to the likes of the Los Angeles Chargers, you're trying to show everybody, hey, I can win football games. I can absolutely win football games. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to beat the number one team in the NFL. The last undefeated team in the NFL. If that's not enough, I don't know what is. Also, if that's not enough, I gotta love the fact that, you know, at least they both say, there's trash talking. I would love to be in that group chat. Like, I would love to see what's the group chat. What is it? Hey, man, you're an inefficient passer. Hey, man, well, you're short. Like, I just want to know what is the actual trash talk between these two.
Aren't they both short?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. One's 6 foot, one's 5'10". No, he's not. He's like 5'8.5". Like, Kyler's short.
So am I taller than Kyler Murray? I'm 5'9".
You may be Kyler Murray's height. Maybe he might be an inch taller than you, if that. That's how tall Kyler Murray is. But yeah, they have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com to pick up your parts for free. Or you can even have them be delivered to you on curbside. Plus, you can have them delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts and visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. There's always one game every NFL Sunday that stands out. There's always one that just is so out there talented. No one else can deny that it is the best of the bunch. I think that a lot of people are going to say that their home team, their team's game is the best. Nationally, hands down, it has got to be the Ravens versus the Chargers. Two teams coming in at 4-1. Two teams that feel like they should not be as good as they are, and yet here they are. One is going to improve to a 5-1 record. The other one is likely still going to remain ahead in the race for their division. But this is just the building blocks for a young quarterback battle of the future. Lamar Jackson is entering year 4. He's trying to prove to everybody that he is a franchise guy. And time again, guess what? He has. He absolutely has. I do not know a single person out there who is denying that Lamar Jackson is not a successful quarterback and should be a superstar in the NFL. I do not know a single person who's saying otherwise. Nobody's going to say that. On the flip side, though, Justin Herbert and his adaptability and his mind and his quickness and all the little kinks that he has rattling around inside of that 4-2 biology brain, all of that has helped him transform into one of the biggest up-and-coming superstars in the sport today. Both of these two are kind of sitting on the outside looking in. I think everybody kind of knows that right now in the AFC, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, insert your quarterback here. The battle for QB3 in that division could be decided with this game. But what's really interesting is how both of these teams are respecting each other. Don Wink Martindale, the defense coordinator of the Ravens, had this to say about Justin Herbert. And by the way, it's fantastic.
I really haven't watched those guys like that, but I do see him on Instagram and stuff like that, flashing around doing his thing. You know, he's a very talented quarterback, and, you know, he's been doing his thing. Hopefully slow down a little bit when we playing against him. You know, we don't want to hype him up too bad this week, man, you know, but he's definitely been balling out of control.
It's a respect thing. It's one of those things, and that was Lamar Jackson, my bad. I got that mixed up. Lamar Jackson talking about Justin Herbert. Herbert, you know, we already know what he is. He's an efficient passer who moves the ball downfield. He's a guy who is showing off more of completion rating than arm strength. But what's funny is his arm strength alone is actually one of the strongest in the NFL. Nobody just knows how to show it off because he's always very quiet with it. But on the flip side, he also has the ability to extend plays with his legs outside the pocket. Not at the level that Lamar can, but he still can work outside the pocket, deliver deep strikes down the field, and he's built a really nice culture with his wide receivers, especially Mike Williams going into this year. Now, Don Martindale had a quote of the year on how to explain what was said about Justin Herbert and what Justin Herbert brings to an offense.
I think he's one of those guys who can throw a strawberry through a battleship. You know, I mean, he's got tremendous arm talent, accuracy. He's the prototypical NFL quarterback, if you will, in looking at him. And he's got a lot of talent that goes with that arm as far as himself of reading coverages, and he has great targets to throw to. So it's going to be a big-time challenge.
A strawberry through a battleship. Anybody ever heard that term before? I can tell you what it means. It means he could basically flick a coin, and it's going to go right through metal. Like, that's what it means, is that he can throw something very small, and it's like a bullet, like immediately shooting through on the other side. I get it, but it's funny how we talk about that, how Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson are two very different style of quarterbacks, yet they both work to its strengths and to their advantages that make them challenging. Herbert is an efficient passer. He works very well under pressure. He can keep. He can play from behind. He can play with the lead. But more importantly, he loves to move the ball downfield. He loves to play consistent football. It's why he's one of the more pass-efficient quarterbacks in the NFL this season. It's why he has a high completion rating. It's why he has, right now, the Chargers playing very well. Now, again, that's just one side of the coin. Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, he is one who has improved as a passer, but still trusts his legs, still uses his legs for everything, still is able to, you know, make a lot of plays on the ground. It's why he does have, I think it's 4 rushing touchdowns on the year, 2 rushing touchdowns on the year, 10 total touchdowns on the year, but he does have 4 games of over 60-plus yards rushing. So those are some things to take into consideration. However, if we go off last game, just last game, there is a lot to say about his passing. He has really improved as a passer. The last 2 games alone, he is over 300 pass yards, including 442. That is the most this season for a quarterback. And Brandon Staley had something to say about that.
You guys are all seeing what I'm seeing, is that you're seeing a player that's never played in the NFL. There have been some guys similar, but there hasn't been anybody like Lamar Jackson. He's truly one of a kind. He's truly a rare player, rare competitor. And all you got to do is go back all the way back to high school, Louisville, you name it. Everywhere he goes, you know, he's doing something, you know, amazing right before your eyes. And since he's become the quarterback of that team, you know, you've seen what's happened.
I mean, they're not wrong. Like, the closest thing you could say to Lamar Jackson would be Michael Vick. And that still is not right. We've never seen a player of Lamar's skills before. And going into this game, both of these 2 quarterbacks are going to have to be the superstars. They're going to have to be the names that step up and get the victory. They're going to have to be. Because think about this for a second. When you look at these 2 programs, when you look at these 2 schools, when you look at these two teams right now, both offensively are juggernauts. One is getting healthy at the right moment. They're adding in Rashad Bateman. They're adding in another wide receiver. They're getting back Ronnie Stanley soon. And on top of that, on the flip side, it's very similar, same kind of thing. There is a lot to like about what Herbert brings. One of these 2 teams is going to be able to, I think, solidify themselves as an actual playoff contender. I think the other one is going to solidify themselves as a wild card team, but still in the conversation. I do think that this is going to be the game of the season, of the weekend. Hands down. There's not going to be a better game than this one. Speaking of games that I think people have to improve on, Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to be completely honest, guys. As good as Patrick Mahomes is, he is in a must-win situation against the Washington football team. When you look at his past couple games, he has been one of the bigger problems. And that's not an insult to him, because if he still is improving, like he's still throwing for over 250 yards, he still is getting touchdowns, but he's become a turnover machine. He's become problematic in that aspect. Keep in mind that for seasons, multiple seasons, Mahomes has gone under double-digit interceptions. He's gone under 5 interceptions. Right now he has 6 interceptions through 5 games of play. That can't happen. Being a player who is a turnover machine, and I get it, the offensive line is still gelling, you're still trying to find a number 2 wide receiver, you're still trying to find consistency and balance. Like, there's a lot that goes into this conversation. But at the same time, when you look at Kansas City, they are one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They can't find consistency running the football. They're a little injured prone. This is where it's time for your quarterback to step up. This is where it's time for your quarterback to show he is worth every single bit of that penny that you gave him a couple years ago. You're trying to prove that you are a contender inside of the AFC, and it's no longer an easy battle. It's no longer just you and the AFC West. Los Angeles has improved. Denver has improved. Las Vegas still is above 500. All that can be in consideration. And when you look ahead, you have got to trust the players that you believe can be the most impactful. Is anybody more impactful than Patrick Mahomes? No. It's why he has to step up big this weekend against Washington.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
You know, sometimes I think that we are very quick to judgment. Now, let me preface this by saying, no. What you think I'm about to say, I am not about to say. I refuse to say that, ever. But what I will say is, when I look at the John Gruden situation, I think a lot of people are angry at different things instead of the big picture. Everybody was affected. John Gruden did not hold back against any single person, any single misogynistic, racist, homophobic comments. He targeted everybody, and it absolutely showed. He was deservingly right to be kicked out of the league. And by the way, I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, he resigned. He didn't resign. He was basically told, you got to get out or we're firing you. Like, that's what's going to happen. You're getting out or we're going to fire you. So they let him walk out on his own terms. They let him leave on his own mantra and on his own style. But everybody just wants to completely belittle everybody in life. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that every single chance when somebody's down, you no longer just go ahead and try and lift them up or try and give them anything? And by the way, this is not the same situation. John Gruden is not going to be lifted up right now. But you ever notice that? That every single time, let's just kick them while they're down. Kick them while they're hurt. You're always going to be in trouble. Like, you always love that. Derek Carr might be the best version of all of us. Because Derek Carr is somebody who was more so affected than most people around the league. A lot of people are angry at John Gruden, at what he said, at what wasn't said, you know, ways it was said, tone, homophobic comments, misogynistic comments, racist comments, all of it. But Derek Carr also worked with this guy. Derek Carr put his entire trust in this guy, so much so that he moved to be closer to him. He wanted to be near this guy because that's how much he thought of John Gruden. John Gruden played such a big, influential role in his life, and that alone made him feel probably upset. But what's fun is Derek Carr's comments on John Gruden might be the most powerful ones of all. Here's what he had to say about John Gruden and how his comments don't resonate with the rest of the team.
Y'all know me, man. I don't condone that kind of talk. I don't talk that way. My kids sure as heck will never talk that way, you know. And it's hard because I love the man so much. You know what I mean? Like, I have family members that have done things. I've done things that I'm glad that I'm still loved, you know. And I think more than anything, Coach needs people to help him, to love him, you know, in whatever areas, you know, that we can. But at the same time, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong.
He's never going to come out and actually say, you know what, no, I hate this guy. I can't be around this person anymore. Yeah, like, he's never going to be able to do that. Because that's not what Derek Carr is. What Derek Carr tries to do is he tries to find solutions. Kind of like how he's done his entire life on the football field. He's trying to find the right solutions. He's trying to find the right answers. He's trying to find some consistency. So that way, everybody knows that even if you are someone who comes with a negative background or a negative personality, it can be fixed. It can be transformed. It can be turned around in an instant. That's what you hope for. That's what you want to see. That's what you want to believe in. But that's never the case. Like, we're so quick to this country. Let me ask you, Michael, am I wrong on this? Every single time that we have a conversation, like, people always want to get their first instinct right. Like, their first instinct is always the right one.
Yeah, that's correct.
And it's sad because that doesn't mean that they're not good. It just means they're like, people are just so inept on their first instinct. Like that, like the first thing that they say, the first thing that they think, that's it. That's 100% a fact. In this situation, yeah, it is. But you're never going to go out of your way, and you're never going to go and try and sit here and point out and say that John Gruden's comments cannot be warranted at some point. That John Gruden's not warranted. My bad. That's not the right word. John Gruden's comments are solicited. They're not correctable. In the NFL, it's always about taking the next step. It's always about trying to find the next group of progress. And Derek Carr is trying to show that as a pioneer to what needs to be done next. And here's what I had to say about John Gruden and how it's about fixing him for the future.
You hate the action. You hate it. You're not supposed to like it. But you love the person, and I love the person. You know, I've grown to love him so much. You know, we spent so much time together. We've been through so many battles. You know, we've been through so many things together. He's always had my back. He's always been there for me. And I love his family. I love his wife. I love his kids. And I think that's why it's hard. You know, because you don't. He's not around. It's over. It's not. He's not going to be around. And that's the hard part. You know. You know, that for me as a human being is the hardest part. As a football player, like I said, I got a job to do.
I think a lot of people also kind of forget that when you're the quarterback, you are viewed as the leader. You are viewed as the front guy. You are viewed as the main piece in the and the top dog of the organization. When your team struggles, it's always the quarterback's fault. So right now, more than ever, Las Vegas needs Derek Carr to be strong. But Derek Carr is dealing with his own thing. I mean, imagine this. Imagine that you know somebody for 10 years, 8, 7 years, 9 years. And keep in mind that, like, when Gruden was still on ESPN, he still had that QB camp thing. That was the very first time he had a relationship. That was the very first time he had a connection with Gruden. They built right along the way, and Gruden actually gave him high praise coming out of Fresno State. He had a relationship with this guy. He believed that this guy was going to be a big difference in his life. And unfortunately, he was, but in a now a negative connotation. But he's still going to defend somebody that he believes in. So he had this to say about what we should do moving forward with testing everybody's thought process.
Don't get me wrong. I love the man, right? You know, and I hate, you hate the sin, you know, like for me, you hate for anybody. No one's perfect. You know, if we just started opening up everybody's private emails and texts, you know, people would start sweating a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Hopefully not too many, you know, but maybe that's what they should do for all coaches and GMs and owners from now on is open up. You got to open up everything, you know, see what happens.
I don't know if that's the right answer. In fact, I don't think that that is the right answer. But what I will say is something does have to be done. I think that you have to hold everybody accountable, just like Derek Carr is trying to hold John Gruden accountable. At the end of the day, I give a lot of credit for Derek Carr because of what he's trying to do is he's trying to lead his team, but he's also trying to say, listen, my relationship with the man is never going to change. He has changed my life in more ways than one. But I want to make sure that I get this abundantly clear. I do not support what he says. I do support the man. And sometimes in life, I think a lot of people kind of forget that. You can always support people that you care about. That doesn't mean you always have to agree with what they say. And in conversations like this, I think we all can agree, John Gruden does not need to be in the NFL. John Gruden does not need to be calling plays anymore. John Gruden does not need to be leading any type of man into any type of battle. He needs help. He needs to be able to see the light. Maybe somebody like a Derek Carr can be that guy for him. So one thing that's not getting enough credit that I think enough people are probably kind of turning its attention away from is Tennessee versus Ole Miss. This is a really interesting game because not only is this a game that has, you know, implications on the SEC rankings, Tennessee is slowly emerging underneath Josh Heupel, and they look to finally be on the right path for the first time since, I don't know, another coach who is young, up and coming, had quarterback genes in his background, was leading the team. Anybody know that guy? Oh, wait, it was Lane Kiffin. Yeah, it was Lane Kiffin back in 2011. Was able to go get a monstrous win. Start the season off on a high note in Tennessee as a young, hotshot 34-year-old fresh out of fizzling out of the NFL. Looked the part of a stellar coach. Seemed to work in the SEC. If not for two blocked punts I mean, two block kicks. He would have beaten Alabama in his first year. He would have beaten Nick Saban. So he actually then would have became the first Saban assistant to beat Nick Saban, even though he wasn't a Saban assistant yet. What I think that is really fun about all this, and what I think is really interesting, is how everything kind of came apart. You look at how Kiffin left in the middle of the night in Knoxville to head out to Los Angeles, and how quickly things turned around and things changed and things completely were wreaked havoc, and all of that. It was interesting. It was so interesting to me. And now he returns to Neyland, and now he returns with a new team, and now he returns with a franchise that feels like they're on the rise in Ole Miss. Tennessee, though, absolutely can upset anybody. Tennessee, though, can absolutely get this upset win. Because you watch their games this past season, they attack good defenses. Hendon Hooker has done a very good job filling in as the new starting quarterback. And they find ways to attack weaker secondaries. The weakest part right now of, I would say, Ole Miss's defense is its secondary. Its defense has got to be able to find some rhythm, some consistency. And even though it's gotten better from last year, that's because it couldn't get any worse. And now it's had time. Now it's had at least a little bit of time to kind of mull over under DJ Durkin. Matt Corral could actually have a very good game, and I still think that they could lose this. I think that there's so much on the lines that nobody is talking about. And the biggest thing of all, I would say, is when you look top to bottom at Ole Miss, they're trying to prove that they belong inside of the conversation of the next big-time superstar names of SEC teams. You look at guys like Ole Miss, I mean, Alabama and Florida and Georgia and even Texas A&M a little bit. They all could eventually start to fall off the totem pole. But Lane Kiffin is so talented in his play calling. He could be a name on the rise. He could be a superstar at the position for years and years and years to come. Ultimately, though, if you lose this game, you're out of any single playoff conversation, and maybe that's the sign that Tennessee football is finally back. I will be very interested in this game because of, on both sides of the spectrum, there is something to like. For Lane Kiffin, it's about him continually showing that he has evolved, he has adapted, and he is a better person in the SEC this time around than he ever was before. On top of that, and you flip it, Tennessee has been looking to be back since probably the very first days of Lane Kiffin. You maybe can finally show that you're in that realm once again with Josh Heupel if you get the win at home. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every single day right here on Just Saying It. Be you, but also don't be afraid of criticism, because sometimes criticism really goes a far way. And I completely spaced on this. I have a bet going on with my family, and I actually have an internal bet with a buddy of mine where I actually can't root for Kentucky football. I actually just can't do it because of, I said earlier this year, I couldn't do it. Will Levis, you know the quarterback of Kentucky? Well, he decided when he got the starting job to show off his raw banana eating skills, which is where you eat the peel. You not only eat the banana, but you eat it through the peel and swallow the peel. Yeah, that's great. He one-upped it a couple weeks ago. There was a video of him on TikTok drinking a cup of coffee, and his girlfriend asked him, "Do you want cream or sugar?" "Nah, I'm fine." So he does a dollop of mayo in his coffee. Guys, I'm not even joking with you. Be weird, be kooky, be zany, be whatever you are. We all have our kinks, we all have our quirks. That's just messed up. Like, that's just messed up. Am I wrong, Michael, on that?
Right.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't think that I was, because if you look at this, what does mayo and coffee have to do with each other? Like, honestly, there's no correlation between the two. It's just pure fat in one and pure disgust in another. Like, black coffee is very much like it wakes up your nostrils, it makes you feel good, it makes you kind of like perk up, but it's not that good. And then on top of that, mayo is the worst thing alive. Like, I absolutely hate mayo. Like honestly, I'm gagging talking about it. Like that's how much mayo bothers me. My girlfriend used to love tomato and mayonnaise sandwiches growing up, and I'm just like, Kirsten, how could you?
Just tomato and mayo?
Just tomato and mayo. Yeah, exactly. Like, that was my exact face. It's like, ugh. Well, Will Levis putting it in his coffee, like mixing in, hey, start my day off with a cup of Joe and a cup of yo. It's like, yeah, going to make me throw up my guts. That's what it is. So honestly, maybe I should have changed my bet in favor of the Bulldogs. Maybe I want Will Levis to lose. That way, when he starts sipping on his mayo drink coffee, what is it, Monday, I guess it would be? Yeah, Monday. He can sit there and realize, oh, well, you know what? I messed up. Probably should not have had the mayo. Just should have stuck with the almond milk or the regular milk or the coffee creamer. Probably would have been the best idea. All right, that does it for me. I'll be back here on Monday to break down everything you saw in college football this past weekend and the NFL. Have a good weekend, everybody. Later.